Well, good morning to you all. Nice to be here with you. You never know after Thanksgiving how many people will show up. They might be either hunting or they might be sick. And I don't know about you, but longing for something. I usually long for that pumpkin pie, and so I'm still longing. I think, Joy, did you hear that? I'm still longing because it got eaten a little bit faster than I expected this time, but it was a wonderful celebration. I hope that y'all had good time with your family and friends and be able to celebrate a special time of just Thanksgiving. We went around the table just thanking God for different things during that time, which was very good to always be focused upon where those wonderful blessings really do come from. Comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we just rejoice in that together. As we're going into Advent, I was wondering, what to do this year. Now, last spring and Easter, I was, had these songs of Easter that I would go through. And I decided this year also to take some songs that are involved with the Christmas message and to be able to kind of go through those with us as well, and how, because when you look at these words, like even the song that we just sang, I mean, they're very wonderful words, so they're worth going over and taking a closer look at, and what it means to our lives, and a time of hope, and a time of the promise that God gave to people from Genesis 3, when he says that he's going to have, there'd be one born of the woman, right, who will crush the head of the snake, and the snake being the devil, and that one born, specially born, is that's Christ the Lord, our Savior. And so we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, that longing. And I think of this time, a guy named Zechariah, an elderly gentleman who was a priest, a part of the priestly tribe of Abijah, and they're coming in there for their 1 month of service. They had 12 tribes, and every month the tribes of these priests would come, and they would serve in the temple. And then they would toss lots to see who had the special honor of going in and offering incense before the most holy place, before God. And, they threw the lot, and Zechariah got his name picked for that. So he had the special honor amongst maybe around 9,000 others who were waiting for that special honor. So it was he was chosen special to go into the temple. And what he would do is he would take the old incense out, because they would burn incense before the Lord in the morning and in the evening. And then he would put new incense in. And as he waved it before, this picture of the curtain that separates the holy place from the most holy place, this incense, the smoke of it and the smell of it represented the prayer of God's people. And as he was doing that, there were others, there was an assembly of worshipers outside the temple who were also worshiping and praying unto God. Now, Zechariah's prayer might have been a little bit different from theirs. I don't know where his heart was, but he was also, him and his wife were childless, and they were well on in age. They were devout followers of God. They were blameless before him. They were, followed his laws as best as they can. So they were wonderful people. And, Zechariah was there to present this. But I feel that his heart and his prayers, the others outside were crying out and wailing, unto the Lord. They were crying out for their hearts because they were waiting for their expected Messiah. They're looking for their deliverer. They were struggling through domination of foreign powers for centuries. And they wanted freedom to worship, freedom to serve God, and freedom to rule themselves. I got a feeling Zechariah's heart might have been a little bit different too. Or maybe he was offering those prayers as well for the Messiah to come, but also there's an aching for a son or a daughter in his heart. And so we look at, you know, the struggles of the Israelites, the Jewish people. And you look at their history, a little bit of their history, and they're going through a silent period, all right? 400 years since Malachi spoke the words of God. There has not been a revelation spoken from God since then. So as they call a silent period. But it wasn't a silent period from hearing God's voice, but it was a silent, it wasn't silent compared to all the changes that were going in the society and the culture around them. So you look at this, you know, back in 722 BC, this is before Christ was born, right? Assyrian Empire takes the northern empire, that's Samaria, when they split the kingdoms between Judah and the kingdom of Israel in those days, because they had a little spat, right? So they were taken away. Then a Babylonian Empire came in and take the kingdom of Judah away. So now they're all dispersed in different areas. And then they came, you know, there were people after a while, they came back in exile during the Persian Empire who were still, but they were still being ruled by the Persian people, all right, at that time. And then as you continue on, then the Greek Empire comes along, Alexander the Great, right? He takes over that, he wipes out the Persian Empire, and he takes over that area and other people that he put in positions of ruling as well for that time. And then you have this, what they call a Jewish independent time, where they had a little bit of independence, but it wasn't quite maybe clean-cut independence all the time during this, but they called it the Maccabean time and the Hasmonean time. That's where Hanukkah comes from. If you ever heard of the celebration that the Jewish people do, they still do today. If Hanukkah, they have the lights, all the candles lit up, and they were talking about the Maccabeans and their victory over, you know, the people who were oppressing them, not allowing them to worship at the temple. And then, of course, good, the Roman Empire comes in, and they're even more ruthless probably than all the rest. And so now, you know, all of this, you know, and throughout their history, even, you know, until 1947, I think it was, or 48, where they, the state of Israel became confirmed once again. But they were dispersed all over the world, and they still are, really. Jewish people are all over the world as well. But so there's, you can see their heart, they're struggling. they're saying, you know, we need help and we can't do it ourselves. They tried it for a little while, but then they just got overrun again. They just weren't strong enough to hold back the Roman Empire. So they're just, you can hear the longing of their hearts. You know, these worshipers, assembled outside, I got a feeling they were crying and they were just, you know, some are on their knees, others are hands lifted up and just eyes in the sky to say, you know, come save us. We need our deliverer. Send a Messiah. Send a Messiah. So all these things are on their hearts. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, we praise you for your blessings in many different ways, and the time that we get to share to come together in your name and to hear your word and to be encouraged and challenged and to know who you are more. I pray that your word will go out true and clear, that you'll empower my words by your Holy Spirit, and that you will receive all the glory and praise in it. We just give you the honor in this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. It's time. You know, this song that we sang, it's an interesting song. And it's a song of talking about, you know, this promise. You know, they're waiting. They're waiting, this hope that they have and what that looks like for them at that time. And we're looking at this, you know, Charles Wesley, I think it was 1744, if we looked at that song there that he wrote. And he wrote many, many songs. And the powerful thing is, you know, when he wrote this song to teach us about the struggles that Israel was going through and why their hearts were longing for this expected Savior to come and help them. And also, there's another guy, you know, in Israel's history, a very, very famous man named David. And he went through similar struggles. Do you remember his story? You know, King Saul was ruling Israel. David got on his bad side, and he was chasing him down to kill him. But God made a specific promise to David that he would be king of Israel. But he had to run and flee at that time, waiting for that promise, struggling to even survive as many people were out after him. He would have to even go to the other foreign countries to seek refuge, foreign countries that used to be enemies. So there's a lot of struggling, just like Israel is going through that struggle, David going through a struggle. We go through struggles, even today in the present times. Our whole world is just, it's just, you know, shaking with all these different things going on, you know, politically and all the famines and wars or threats of war, all those that you read about in the book of Revelation, too. You just kind of go, wow. You know, we're struggling to survive. We're struggling to keep our heads above the water, even with an inflation and all that stuff going on in our own society, in our own country. You know, we struggle. But our hearts should be longing, just like as theirs are, for that promise to be fulfilled. The promise of the Messiah for them, for us, is the promise of the coming King, who will set everything right. Powerful and wonderful. I wanted to take a look a little bit from this. I want to sit down this and look at this hymn just a little bit with us too. The first stanza anyways here. And then we'll. But just look at these words here. If you want to, you can turn to it too on page 157 there. And it says, you know, come thou long expected Jesus. So you see the longing there. And then what, why? What were they longing for? Well, you know, what is this about? Well, it's born to set thy people free. You know, they wanted freedom. You know, we all want freedom. I think of people around the world, even in China now, they're starting to revolt against those COVID restrictions. You know, there's a lot of protests going on. People want to be free. It's just natural. Natural to want to be free for our spirits. So they want to be released. They want to be free, and they want to be free from fears of and sins. So there's a lot of different fears that we have, and they want to be free from sins as well. So they're just calling out, help. We're calling out, help us. Let us find rest. Let us find rest in thee. The only one that we can really find rest in is our Savior, who has brought peace into the world only through His Word and His Spirit. Now, not peace that the way the world gives, it's a peace that's temporary and that can be taken away from us for any moment. No, this is a peace that's deeper because we know who we are and who He is. And the more we know, the more peace we have in our lives. The more we know who God is, the more we trust in Him, the more we know who we are in Him, peace is ours. We can rest in Him. And then it continues on. It says, you know, give us strength. You know, I hear the words of Simeon back then when he met the baby Jesus at the temple. You know, he was looking for that consolation, that comfort of Israel. We all are. We all seek comfort. We all would like to have comfort and strength given to us. And a hope of all the earth, our dear desire of every nation, a joy and a longing of hearts. That's what we're looking at. And we're looking at, you know, just brought up this scripture passage for me when I was listening to this. And, you know, there's a time. You know, this is God saying, hey, be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There is a time He has set. We are waiting. And in the waiting, we are struggling. We're going through lots of different things. But we can always keep our eyes on the one who is coming. and our hearts open to Him. And just like those guys coming every morning, every evening there at the temple, you know, burning that incense, the prayers being lifted up before the holy Creator God, and they could cry out to Him. We need to be doing the same thing throughout the day. We might not have the incense, or if you want to do that, go ahead. But you have your heart, and you have the temple right here now. The most holy is right here in your own heart. If you are following Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He's right here. You get to lift up your prayers. Cry out. Ask for help. Cry for our King to come and make everything right, and that He will be exalted by all the nations and all the earth. His name will be praised and glorified. Many more people would be joining with us. And it just reminds me of the book of Revelations in 7:9, that scene of all the different tribes and nations and languages of people gathering, just going, oh, praise the Lord for His salvation and unto our God and unto the Lamb. You know, praise the Lord, all the nations. And then we go to Zechariah's heart. See, one thing Zechariah did, when the angel came and started talk with him, you know, he just couldn't quite believe. There was doubt there. And so the angel, Gabriel, silenced him until his child was born, right? But it's Zechariah's heart is right here, because when he was praying, this was probably part of his prayer. In fact, I got a feeling this is all those people who were assembled out there were thinking about this scene. They call it the cloud rider. If you look at Daniel 7:13-14, talking about this powerful, you know, person coming out here. Let me get that 13 for you here. See if I can find that real quick. But I believe this is on their hearts, and I believe that this was on the hearts of these special wise men who came to see the baby that was born, a special baby that they were heard about from Daniel's writings way back then. In 13 it says, in my vision, this is Daniel, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. That's why they call him a cloud rider, right? He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. And then 14, He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped Him. Revelations, right? His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I tell you something. If I'm praying for that type of Messiah, right? The Israelites are looking for this military ruler, this king to come and scatter the Roman Empire and destroy it and give them that freedom and the independence that they're looking for. But they had it backwards. their timing. Now there's something, God is doing something different. And they couldn't quite understand. In fact, who would? You know, though the prophet Isaiah and other prophets talked about this child, this one coming, they just couldn't grasp and understand because their hearts weren't ready to receive what God had for them. This powerful message of a Messiah coming to rule, not as a military commander or a king at that time, but to rule in hearts of people. Back then and even now. So it's a powerful moment that they're looking at, and I can see that. They're looking for that help. I would. Sometimes I still do. That type of, but they missed it because not only, Jesus came in a different way, but now we are waiting for that one who will rule, right? Not just in hearts, but rule all in all the earth. And actually, everything will be wiped out, and he'll make everything new again. So that's the one that we're waiting for now. So now you got fulfillment. You know, right there, as Randy was reading in Psalm 61, see, Jesus was in this synagogue. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah, and he read from chapter 61, the first verse or two. And he's talking about, hey, you know, I've been appointed, I've been anointed by the Lord to do all these things, you know, setting you free, all these type of hopes and dreams that they're looking for. And then he says this, and he says, these scriptures are fulfilled in me. Really what he's saying is, I'm the Messiah. I am it. And that's why they reacted so, you know, blasphemy. You know, they're thinking, what are you doing? You can't be the Messiah. You know, that type. And that's why they were trying to throw him off the hill, the edge of the cliff there, because they just couldn't believe it. They knew this guy. They knew where he grew up. They knew his mom and dad. They knew his brothers and sisters. So, you know, who is he to say that he's the Messiah? But he says it's fulfilled. It came to fulfill. Zechariah's longing for a son was fulfilled. He was silent until that day that his son was born, and he called him John. And it became really a cousin of Jesus, right? Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And then David's longing to become king was fulfilled. See, God went before him, and the time was just right. King Saul, his life passed on, and now David was anointed king. And even then, he was only anointed king over Judah, the people of Judah, until 7 years later, where all Israel again came together to anoint him as their king. There's a process, the longing, but it now is fulfilled. And the joyous time and celebration at that time when he was anointed king was a wonderful celebration. Just like in the days of Zechariah, all those people were hearing, Elizabeth, Zechariah having a kid in their age. Woo! And they're just going, what is this? What's happening? What's this new thing? This impossible thing? What's happening? What's going to happen? All these things are stirring their hearts, but there's joy in it. There's wonder in it. And just like for us today, too, the Israelites looking for that, and we are looking for that joyous time of seeing our king come back. And then back to this song that we sang there in the second stanza here says, born thy people to die, to deliver. So he was born to deliver his people. All of us, not just the Israelites. Born a child and yet a king. Isn't that amazing? He wasn't born in the palace. As they were looking, the wise men were looking for him in the palace. He wasn't born there. He was born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. Born a child, but yet a king. And we saw what kind of king he is, of a king of a kingdom that will never end. That's the type of king I want to have and rule over me. It's filled with love and truth and hope. Born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom, and that's one thing that separates his kingdom from all the other kingdoms of this world. It is a gracious kingdom. It is a kingdom that provides, that loves unfailingly, unconditionally. It is a grace that gives us things that we don't even deserve. Rather, we deserve something else. But his grace abounds. And it brings us together even on a Sunday morning because of his graciousness. His gracious kingdom is coming and is moving amongst us. And it's expanding and advancing throughout the world. Even now. Even now. His kingdom filled with grace is advancing. And that's probably him telling us, how's it going? rules in all our hearts. He's eternal. By thine own sufficient merit, died once, never to have to die again, once and for all. The sacrifices that they had to, the Israelites had to offer to killing the lamb, both in the morning and the evening, they don't have to do that anymore. I'm sure they were getting sick and tired of that. I would be. Oh, I got to get up in the morning again, do that. I got to do this again. Every year, once a year, Day of Atonement, they had to slaughter these animals. They had to have the scapegoat and prayer, all that stuff. Oh, I'm so tired of that. Now, every day, we can come before him. Right? That's that king that we can just pray and have our talk with him. And open up our hearts and allow him to minister to us and empower us. And we don't have to go through killing the animals anymore. Which was gruesome. I don't know about you, but you hunters probably no problem. But for me, you know, I mean, the guy that grew up in L.A., you know, that's kind of gruesome. So, and then it says here at the end, it says, raise us to thy glorious throne. That's a wonderful hope, isn't it? It's a hope that keeps me going. You know, when I'm struggling and, you know, with the world and with my own selfish desires and with, you know, society just kind of falling, breaking apart right before my eyes and, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, all that stuff. Can't believe he did that. But all that, step by step, moment to moment, open heart before our King. Allow him to minister to us, to me, and to empower us by his Spirit. You know, we're not doing it alone. We can't do it on our own. If you're trying to do it on your own, how's it going for you? How is it going for you? Because I tell you something, before I met Christ, it wasn't going very well. And I was 29 years old. And I was spinning my wheels. But then by his grace, he kept after me. Until I finally gave up. I couldn't hold him back anymore. You know, so we need to be praying for those people around us as well, that they will finally give up. Give up on this world, give up on themselves, and just receive the one who loves us more than we can ever understand. So then people like a Charles Wesley will write a song like that, right? Of hope, of these promises. Because his heart is going, wow. Wow, look what we got. What a wonderful hope we have. The Israelites had no clue back then, the days of Zechariah. They were hoping for a military king and all that stuff, thinking in the world, but they weren't thinking about the invisible world and the future hope at that time. And maybe some of them were. Maybe. Could have been some. Simeon was. This man, God spoke to him by the power of his Holy Spirit and said, go and meet this family and meet this special child that was born on that day, Jesus. And so he took Jesus in his arms and he said these words. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. See, God, you know, this is an elderly gentleman, right? Waiting years, and God says, there is one. I'm preparing your heart to go and bless this child, to speak this prophecy, this word of revelation. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the who? Gentiles. Who are they? It's us. Anybody who's not Jewish is a Gentile. All right? And the glory of your people, Israel. So it's for all. It's said right there. This is a Jewish man. Jewish men, they didn't really want to include anybody else, but you know this is empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? If he's saying things like, oh, the Gentiles too. It's for the Gentiles too. And we see it today. So fulfill our longings. You know, in 2 Peter, it's a very, you know, if you haven't read in this, you know, Joy was reading this the other day, and just kind of goes right along with what I'm talking about. You know, and starting in 8, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. See, he gives a promise, and people go, I'm waiting so long. The Israelites are waiting so long. David's waiting so long. Zechariah and Elizabeth are waiting so long. We're waiting so long. Where is this coming king? Where is he? Where's your Messiah back then? They're going, where's your Messiah? Where's your God? Well, he's there. He's coming. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Not everyone, but everyone to come to repentance. There's a reason why it seems slow to us, right? There's a plan in it all. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Now, listen to this. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought we to be? People who just say, oh, I'm done with this waiting. I'm done. Coming king. Ah, it's just a story. It's no God. I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't care. I got all these other things. I'm going to start working in the government. I'm going to start working in politics. I'm going to start reading books and get real smart. I'm going to do all this stuff, and I'm going to build my own kingdom, and that's it. Well, it says here that everything's going to be laid bare. What's going to happen to your kingdom that you're built? It's going bye-bye. See, his kingdom's the only one that's forever. Will never be destroyed. So what people ought we to be? People who run scared, who fear everything, who hide, or who are just opposite, aggressive and try to take everything for themselves? No. See, it says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed its coming. Wow. Speed its coming. How dare Peter even think that? Who can speed? God's got the plan, right? He's got the date all set up. How can we speed it? It's right here. And it says there in Matthew 24:14, like, you know, as we go out and all this gospel is preached to all the nations, and the last person to receive that good news and be saved comes into his kingdom, then everything will be done. Then the king comes. Then the new thing happens, the new earth and the new heavens. Everything's set perfect and right once again, as in the days of Adam and Eve before they sinned, or even more beautiful. More wonderful. So, have you ever done the Macarena? Let's do the Zechariah. Now, don't do the Zechariah where he was doubting and not believing the words of the angel. All right, that's something, not to follow. But what we are to do is we are to be devout into the Word of God, to be fully committed to him. Not to waver, to be obedient unto his word and go and do what he asks us to do. even though it's difficult. You know, and then to be, you know, he chose them. He chose them to go in there and to do that incense thing. And he answered that deep heart prayer about having a son. He answered that. Pray, praise. You know, what do you long for? I long for the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. You know, and there's, remember that picture of that dog looking out the window? Isn't that longing? I mean, they're waiting for the master. I can't wait to look his face. Right? You know, what do you long for? You know, look into your heart. What are you longing for? Are you longing for a closer walk with Christ? Are you longing to know him more? Are you longing to be in his word and pray? Are you spending time with him to where it's not you? It's not you people see anymore, but it's Christ in you. So if you're longing for the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, you might have to wait a while more and struggle through it, right? And I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But Micah Parsons certainly going to give it an attempt, right? Penn Stater, you should all be smiling. Hallelujah. Right? All that. But the longing, you know, might not ever come. But this longing will come. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. The promise is there. He fulfilled those other promises we see wonderfully, miraculously. He's going to do it for real. He's coming. So may our longing of our hearts draw us closer to him. And may he live his life, his power, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to inspire our words and our actions, our love to the people around us, to where people will go, what's going on with you? Why do you have that hope? Tell me more about it. Well, come, let's open the Word of God together. Let's talk about it. Because you know what happens? Watch and be amazed, because this is impossible. A virgin given birth to a child. It's impossible. But God made it possible for a reason. To save people. To fulfill his promises to all the nations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness, your love that endures forever, the hope, the promises there, Lord. Father, it seems like a long time waiting, but Lord, your timing is different than ours. But you ask us to be like Zechariah, to be faithful, to be obedient, be true, and to lift up his hopes to you. Daring to lift up those hopes to you, knowing that there will be a day that you will fulfill it. May you give us that faith, Father. Give us that faith that we know. We just know the King is coming. That everything is going to be set right so we can put all of our own personal needs, all that stuff aside more and more. And we can put your kingdom number one. The highest priority in our lives, and how we spend that time with you, and how we can be those messengers of your good news to the people around us so they can receive this wonderful gift of this wonderful Savior that you have sent, your precious Son, for all of us. So bless this day. Bless each one of us to be a blessing to our families, to all those around us, to our community, to this world as we pray for those around the whole world. Show us the way. Empower us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, amen. Amen.